Job, chapter 38, please. Verse 1.
Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel, thy words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? And linked to that, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know, brethren, I guess I'm realizing now that time is slipping on, and we've had this book in our hands for quite a number of years. We're not young anymore. We used to always think we were one of the boys. And all of a sudden you're looking in the mirror and the time goes by. This man, Job, I started to be interested in him years ago. And I realized that this is one of the great men of our book. This man rightly said these things. I'm not sure that Job wrote this book. I believe that possibly another wrote it. Possibly even one of the ones that were turned at the end. But this man knew what it was to serve at the altar. He learned at the altar. You know, there's such times that we learn. But this man learned at his altar. And he learned things that some of us still don't know today. He learned the truth of north, east, south, and west. He learned the truth that north and south was the heavenly direction. He learned the truth that east and west was the earthly direction. He learned the truth of the altar, that a man would one day be upon the altar every time he offered an animal on that altar. And he did it especially in his day for his oldest boy. It was on his oldest boy's birthday that Satan struck him. This man learned things. And God entrusted with this man of the altar knowledge that we would value today. He's the man that could say in chapter 19 that I know my Redeemer liveth. And if I could write a book, I'd write it in an iron pen and lead. Now if I could say one thing to this world for all the generations to come, I would write this. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's the kind of a man that he was. And Satan attacked. Even the young man Eliphaz at the end. And I believe as we opened this chapter, that was the final attack upon Job. As the young man Eliphaz closed his discourse against Job. And God opens his mouth after, I believe, about a year's period. And he says, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Speak to the Lord's people. And this man had chosen to speak unto God's servant Job. He had said to Job that Job was a man that knew not God. Job speaks as a man that doesn't know God. Well, I want to tell you, his assessment of Job, we would know that Job was a man that knew his God and knew how to serve at his office. And Job has been pleased to, God has said things to Job. Job knew that the earth was hung upon nothing. He learned that. And God, he had already known that. And then Job, God opens his mouth in that silence and he speaks to him about the very beginning of time and the world. Actually, God begins in the day of God. And actually, as he finishes in chapter 40, he brings up two living beasts. And he moves the whole spectrum of time from the very beginning right to the very end. I wonder how much of it Job grasped. But he moved on down and instructed Job that there was none that could put Pishos in Behemoth. And in Leviathan, the crooked serpent. They were beyond the fishing, or they could, they were apostate in their character. I don't believe those two were ever, beasts. They were human beings. They're regarded like that at the end. So God takes his man right across the spectrum of time. What a laugh. Little wonder Satan hated. You know, God has written this book on the basis of time, and I've come to understand that this book has a first day, and this book has a last day. The Lord Jesus speaks of himself as being the first and the last. Daniel speaks of the Lord Jesus as being the Ancient of Days. The Lord Jesus sits and looks back over every turn of this earth. There's a time when this earth took its first turn. It turned out of darkness into light, because we're told it was from the evening to the morning of the first day. And when I sat down to try to understand this comment by God to his servant Job, there's some things that I noticed that were very different than Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to just comment to you on some of these things. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declarest thou if thou hast understanding? Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Brethren, I believe this goes back to 4 Genesis 1. This, I believe, is a statement in the day of God. My little understanding. We begin with the day of God, and we end with the day of God. The first day is recorded in Genesis. The last day that this world will ever understand, as far as turning is concerned, we have the great white throne judgment. And sin is finally dealt with. Everything else is days in between. All the major prophetic timings given by Daniel in days, given by John in the Revelation, is always days. So many days. Daniel marked the very day that Messiah would be cut off. God has dispensed this book in days. I personally, myself, believe that in the spirit realm, before this earth ever took its first turn out of darkness towards the light, God had written a book. I believe the elect angels understood something of this book. I believe Gabriel, as well as Michael. Gabriel tells us that Michael understood in Daniel the things pertaining to this book. A voice said to Gabriel, call this man to understand the scriptures of truth, and that which will be in the last day. So angels understood the writings of this book. You can see clearly that even the devil himself, in the tempting of the last Adam, knew something of the under of this book. When I look at this book, I see the here, I don't see any darkness. This scene here that we look at would fit very nicely into James, whereas every good gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variance, no shadow, no turning. We could be very literal about that in this case. You start out with the day of God when He creates something. He creates it in the light of His own glory. Everything that God began with was in the light of glory. God is light. Everything that He did, He made it in His own glory. In the light of glory, there's no turning. There's no shadow. There's no darkness. We read only about the foundations of the earth. The stars in this scene are angelic ones. They're not foundations set on fire here, are they? The stars that you read about here are not fireballs in the sky. Why? The holiness of God has never been provoked yet. You have never found out that God is a consuming fire, have you? Not here. Because nothing has ever provoked you. Nothing has ever caused Him to withdraw from what He's made and plunge it into darkness. You take away the light of glory, all you have is darkness. You don't see that here. You see joy. You know, I want to tell you something, beloved. There's two areas that Satan loves. The believers in the tidiness. Oh. Satan hates the beginning. He hates the book of Genesis. I don't suppose any of us are very clear on the tremendous fall that Adam took in the garden when he plunged humanity. And I don't suppose that we're very clear as to when that angelic being plunged the spirit realm into sin. Two. And Satan has loved to fog any understanding of those two areas. And you come to the last, into the book of Revelation. And Satan loves to keep God's people in a fog concerning the ending of things. So the beginning of things and the ending of things are very, very, you have to be very, very, understanding to get past the fog of Satan in the beginning and the fog of Satan in the end. He loves to twist the Word of God. So I just wanted to share with you this afternoon. So here's this man, Job. And he goes right from the very beginning. If you were to come to the end, I know we don't want to go into tremendous deep water, but you know, those two beings, the Leviathan, the crooked serpent, just go to chapter 41, and I'll just comment on a couple of things there. Speaking particularly of one of these beings, why I would come to the conclusion that these are not animal in the animal world. He is king over all the children of Christ. And this is referring to the two, after Job opens his mouth the second time, you get the truth of the behemoth. The behemoth is the land creature. And the Leviathan is the sea creature. And we have two men in the last days that will align themselves with Satan. One would be a creature of the land, Jerusalem. And one would be a creature of the sea, of humanity. And these two fit there. And God, in speaking to his man Job, he says, back in verse 14, I will confess unto thee that if you can tread down the wicked in their place and hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in the secret, then I will also confess unto thee that thine own right hand is. Oh, Job. And the God that made these two is the only one that can lift the sword against. And of course, we know in a coming day, very soon, the God that made them will be able to lift the sword, and he's the only one that will lift the sword against them. So we're coming up to a very evil time, brethren. We're coming near to the time of the end, where the two beasts that are going to fall into the hands of Satan are going to take control of this world. And we'll be out of here, gone. But our understanding needs to be sharpened. I want you to know that the clock of God and the days of God are moving. And every day, we don't regard the day. But we're fast coming to the day of God, which will come with the bright and the morning star. Soon we'll move into the day of God and we'll be back where there's no turning again. No variance again. No shadow again. And the Lord will begin on with the day of God. And who will be the light of that? Another than I, Jesus. The light in the morning star. The one who will replace any fireballs that have been used to light the world. No more need for God to expose the foundations of the earth set on fire. You didn't see the foundations of the earth set on fire there in Job, did you? They were foundations there, weren't they? They weren't burning elements there. They're burning elements now. I believe those mornings were part of the principality that fell in the spirit realm. And they had charge of those foundations. And God set them on fire. Well, I believe. Because I find them here as foundations. I don't find them as stars. In Genesis, I find them as stars. No longer are they, their elements that have been set on. And Adam is brought in onto that scene. He's brought into a scene where there's the first thing that God does is divide the darkness from the light. It's almost like a new birth. God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined into our hearts. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, it's almost like the back there, you can see there's the scene in darkness. Here's my old darkened heart. And God commanded the light of the gospel to shine into my dark. And I can see the old world back there, and the Spirit of God hovered over the dark scene. And that old world turned, its first turn. And if I'd have been writing this book, I would have said for sure that the morning and the evening were the first thing. But that's not what the book says. It says the evening and the morning. The first thing that this old darkened world did is to turn towards the Spirit of God. The first thing that we ever did, the first thing that our old world ever did, was to turn in its renovation towards the light. In its new birth. And you and I, we turn in our new birth towards the light. Oh, I know many don't believe that. But I believe it. I believe that's the way it is. And we'll move on to the day of God. God put it back the way He had it. With only one light. No need of the moon and the stars. Then my Savior is the bright and morning star. He'll light heaven itself, but He'll light the universe. It'll all come in centered into the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to heaven? Oh, the morning. The morning with no evening. The morning with no darkness. The morning with no turning. The morning with no sin. The light in the morning. Not the evening star. It's only morning, brethren. It's only morning here. Soon, we'll be sons of the morning, no more sons of the night.